Strike.
Oh, yeah.
Keep turning. Why is the wind holding it that much?
Back-to-back weeks in episode 26 of the podcast.
How good?
How good's this?
It's good, mate.
You said it last week, consistency.
Consistency is the key to to life.
To life.
Mate, yes. Not just golf and practice.
Oh, that could be my mental tip one day.
Maybe.
I'll use that.
You can use it today?
No, I'll use it in a few weeks when everyone forgets this part.
Hopefully, my kids don't wake up. They're out there asleep.
You were saying that. So, it's school holiday. So, anyone doesn't know, we record this in Corfee's media room.
Yeah.
They're usually in their bedrooms, which is...
Yeah, a bit further away.
A bit further away.
They're just outside that door there. So...
That's right. Special guest.
Yeah, mate.
Ted Corfe.
Wait till they get on. Jesus. You'll hear some new words.
Could be exciting. Excellent, man. How the school holidays been treating you?
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Cara's had a fair few days off.
That's nice.
They've been skating heaps.
How good's that?
I've been to the beach a few times. Had to take Valley for her needle, 4-year-old needles yesterday.
Yeesh.
She's a trooper, mate. She
was all right?
She wanted to go.
Oh, wow.
She was here all over going, can we go yet? And I'm like, darling, just hang on a minute. And then we got there and she just held my hand. Teddy was in there with us and she's like, didn't even hurt.
How good's that?
I was like, holy crap. When Teddy got his, mate, I had to hold him down, like, and I mean, hold his arms, and like, I was in tears.
Yeah.
He was screaming like, no, Dad, no.
So, I don't understand that part, but and I understand then, being Ted. Dad used to have to hold me down for needles. I was petrified.
I couldn't do it. After, I was scarred for a bit. I said to Cara, you're doing the next few. But Valley was a trooper.
How good's that?
Yeah, so good.
We've been pretty lucky. So Charlie's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like he gave it the needle, he cries for about 10 seconds and he's good to go.
Well, so I did Teddy's, I think, two and three. I don't know. They were back to back.
Yep.
And they were really quick because I think we missed one of them.
Yep.
And so I took him in the first time to this doctor and he bawled his eyes out. Like was screaming like somebody was cutting his arm off with a butter knife. And then it was about 4 months later, we had to get more. And I was like, mate, we've got to go to the doctors again today, blah, blah, blah. And when we were driving there, I pulled into the car park, and it's at Moonee just up here. And he was like, no, Dad, no, not this doctor again, no. And was like, shitting bricks.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, no. And I had to physically hold his arms down. Yeah, it wasn't good.
That's a hard moment.
It was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. But we got there.
Got there.
That's what I said to him yesterday. I was like, Valley didn't even flinch, mate. You're balling. Like, what's going on? So, yeah, it was all right. They've been good.
Excellent.
So, I work tomorrow, then Thursday off. Hang out on Anzac Day with the kiddies.
The Anzac Day clash. Dragons v Roosters.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a bit excited.
Yeah, you guys would go good, actually.
If we play like we did last week.
Yeah, but who did you play last week?
Warriors.
Oh, yeah, true.
Towed them up.
You did towel them up.
Man, I hadn't been that excited. I actually got lucky. I missed the first 20 minutes, which is when we were at our, like, struggling.
Yeah.
And then from there, apparently, we just dominated. So.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Is Lomax going to go to the Eels?
Yeah, all this stuff on the media... hyping it up. He's definitely going.
Yeah, okay.
He's done. I think there must be something else there. I don't think him playing on the wing is that big of a deal.
No, he's having his best year ever.
He's leading the Dally Ends.
He's going to play Origin.
Yep. But he's back in the centres this week. So, obviously, he did a good enough job.
Yeah.
So, it was pretty impressive. Potential, like, try of the season, too, from him.
Which one?
He's second half, like, first couple of minutes in. Put the bomb up from like 40 and he's gone charging.
Yeah.
Jumped and then got it.
That's not try of the year, mate.
It was pretty nice.
Yeah, it was good. It's not going to be try of the year, though.
It's always good, like in any sport, when something happens and the camera misses it.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, so he's like, they've got it like zoomed in on this guy about to jump and then all of a sudden the ball's gone. They're like, what's going on?
It was good.
Like in golf when they pan to like where they think the ball's going to land and then they have to.
Yeah,
quickly go.
That's when my drives, they pan. They've got to pan backwards.
Pan backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
Thought he hit longer than this.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hitting it sideways today.
So, little bit on golf.
Yeah.
Because this is what we talk about.
Apparently.
Talking a little bit about, let's go to Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
In the year he's having. Like, he's just come off another win.
Yep.
At the Heritage. He just seems unstoppable at the moment.
He is. It's next level. I don't know. We keep talking about it. I don't have any more words to describe him.
Yeah. He's just a
freak.
Season could be anything.
Yeah, well, he's already made what? You've probably got it written down.
I have it written down. $18.7 million.
Wow.
So he has the best year. I think it was 2022. He earned $21 million.
Yeah.
So he'll destroy that, I think.
Do you know how much Ted Scott's made this year?
Yeah, I saw the number. Like, you don't know for sure. So
this is the normal pay that they have to get. 10% of prize money is normal.
Well, that's what they say. I saw a thing today.
This is like...
I saw a thing today that had it based on, like, predicted caddy wage based on place. So, if they win, it was 10%.
Okay.
And anything less, it drops.
Oh, really?
So, like, they had a rough... His earnings were like 1.something mil.
1.77.
Yeah. But that was, like, it was like... So, for his wins was 10%. And if he had, like, a tied 16th weather, it was like 5%.
Oh, that sucks.
Significantly less. So, I'd imagine he's on a better deal than 10%, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
yes, he wouldn't pay for a thing either.
No way.
I think this year, what's he won? 4 times already? 5.
He's 4. Won 4 of his last 5 events.
Yeah, I reckon he wins 10 events.
That's a big call.
3 more majors.
Wow.
That'll take him to 7, then 3 more events, yep.
That's a big year.
Yeah.
But look into that, he just looks unstoppable.
He is.
He's doing all this stuff with ease. So.
Yeah. What did he win by?
Won by 4. Just doing his job.
Yeah.
Getting around there. The missus is nearly 9 months pregnant.
She's been 9 months pregnant for like 3 months.
It feels like that, doesn't it? So I don't know what they're all hyped about the Masters saying, oh, he might pull out and blah, blah, blah. It's like he's just come back in another week.
Yeah.
And imagine that too. Like you think like winning a major, especially the Masters, has to have some sort of like it has a like a physical drain, but some sort of mental drain and the emotional drain of winning it. He just comes out next week and plays. How often do you hear people say like play and then have a week off?
They have a week off if they win a major.
Yeah.
Like scrap it.
Yep.
I'm done. Yeah. It just goes to show how mentally resilient he is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
Or he just doesn't give a shit and he's like, yeah, whatever, I'm just playing golf.
Well, man, he's got more money he can jump over. Like, he's loaded. So, anyway, I do have some interesting stats on him. But before I get into that, I want to make some comparisons to, and this is probably a subject we don't talk about a lot of, the LPGA Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Nelly Korda's just won 5 events in a row.
It's crazy.
She's only played 6 tournaments this year and won 5 in a row.
Wow.
So, it's been pretty impressive. I want to talk about, like, some similarities to their form.
Okay.
All right. So, Nelly Korda, driving distance, 264 yards, puts a 33rd on the LPGA Tour. Right? Scottie Scheffler's average, 299.3. That puts him 74.
Is that all?
That's all. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
But
I think they only take... They don't... taking every hole they use driver and they only select a few holes every week.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I thought it'd be longer, but still 300 yards average is a...
What's that? 270.
270. Yeah. It's a fair hit. Like, average.
Yeah.
So...
Not too bad.
It's not too bad. Driving accuracy, nearly quarter.
She's like at 75 or something.
Yeah. So, this is an interesting stat I found already. So, she's 74.22, which is...
Ooh, that's close.
Right? And that puts her at 61st. On the LPGA Tour.
But she's probably one of the longest.
She's 33rd.
Is she? That's right.
Not one of the longest either.
Yeah, right.
Scottie Scheffler, driving accuracy, is 74.42, and he's 8th.
Yeah, right.
So they're nearly the same accuracy.
Exactly the same.
So it just goes to show the difference in game. Ladies just so much straighter.
Yeah.
But lack probably a bit of a power game, right? So Here's what there's like more similarities.
The course is irrelevant.
Correct.
I mean, yeah, I like match to how far they hit it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Here's where like it gets like you start to understand why they're dominating. So greens and reg, 75.85% for Nelly Korda, and that's first on tour.
There you go.
Scotty Scheffler, 74.76, first on tour.
Yeah.
Putts per green and reg, Nelly Korda, 1.7. Nelly Korda is putts per green reg, 1.72.
Yeah.
And that's fifth on tour. Scheffler is 1.669, and that's first.
So he's first in putts per green now.
Putts per green and reg.
Putts per green.
Overall putts for a tournament, Nelly Korda's 29.57, which is 66th, and Scotty's 28.14, which is 22nd. So
that's better than 150th, which he was last year.
Man, but they're not leading in like lowest putts per round.
No.
But just because they're hitting so many more greens and reg.
Yeah, they've got more
and
chances.
And they're holding so many more putts
when
they're hitting
green and reg. They've got more chances of birdie.
I didn't get numbers on their like proximity to the hole, but I imagine it's pretty good.
So close.
They'd be leading. Like, well, all like, I think Scotty Scheffler leads nearly every shots gained stat, except there's a putting one.
Yeah, strokes gained putting.
That he doesn't have. And then, yeah, understandably, scoring average, Nelly Korda's at 69.22, which is first. And Scotty Scheffler's at 68.743, which is first. That was adjusted.
Okay.
I didn't look into what adjusted is. Before, like, non-adjusted, it was 67 point something.
Yeah,
so I don't understand how adjusted could increase it.
Who knows how they do it.
So anyway, Americans.
If you could take one of their swings, which one would you take?
Well, it's a hard one. Like, you take Scotty Scheffler's swing because it's got more power. Can I have Nelly Korda swing with Scheffler's power?
You can do whatever you want.
Or can I have her swing with my current power?
You probably just want her power, mate.
But yeah, both like very good golfers. And here's what I found interesting. You ready? And I want to talk a bit about this. Nelly Korda has earned $2.4 million this year.
Yeah, this is messed up.
Compared to Scotty Scheffler's 18.7. Now, Scotty Scheffler has played, I think he's played 10 events, right? And Nelly's played 6, so there's a difference of 4 events. But, like, of that 2.4 mil, didn't she get, like, 1.2 for the last event?
She just won 1.2 at the Chevron, yeah.
So, something's not adding up to me.
It's bullshit. Surely, like, I know it's eyes on the product and TV sponsorship and broadcasting rights and all that, but surely the PGA, the men's PGA, can kick a bit of money towards them. It's a joke.
It has to be something, doesn't it?
It's a joke.
Has to be something
for
there.
For her to win 5 events in a row and only pocket, what, 2.5 mil is laughable.
Yeah.
It's a stab in the face to the chicks.
Well, I think I saw, I'm trying to think of the lady's name. So she was the highest year anyone's had for the LPGA Tour money, and it was only 4 point something.
Yeah, that's dog shit.
Which was pretty...
Like, Scotty won 3.6 at the Masters.
Yep.
Like, how do you justify that that's okay?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Actually, while you're still speaking, I've got some pictures on my phone I'm going to look up.
That's right. So what I want to bring something up, actually. Before you get back to that, Scotty leads the world rankings, right? So he leads the world rankings over number 2, who is Rory.
Yep.
That lead is bigger than Rory's lead over 784th Tiger Woods.
I saw that. Isn't it amazing?
So how long is it going to take for him to not be number 1? He would like could not play for a year.
I think he probably could, but I don't think, I'm trying to think how they work it. So I know with tennis, there's a weird one where, like, all your points from the year before, and then if you have a poor start to the start of the year the next year, you lose a lot of points. So he's not going to just, like, he doesn't just have these points and they stay there forever. You start to lose them.
Yeah, they get calibrated.
Yeah, there's something that goes on. So probably not as long as you think.
Yeah, it's a wild stat,
like,
though.
If he just keeps playing.
Man.
But I saw that. Like, I even looked it up. to try like work it out myself. So his like his points, like average points or whatever it was like 15 points something. And then Rory was on 7.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just a ridiculous number. So I had this lady's name here for the money list. Where are you?
Yeah, surely the PGA can do something. They make so much money. They make so much money, man. Like, their purses are $20 million.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, seriously.
That's, like, I think, you know, it's probably getting into a controversial topic, but a big debate, and I'll go to tennis again, because tennis do it really well. Like, there's equal... I don't know about every tournament. I know the big tournaments, it's equal prize money.
Yeah.
Right? The big debate there is that they're not playing as many sets.
Yeah. Are they playing four rounds, though, the ladies?
Yep.
Now? Yeah.
Well, it's LPGA. They play four rounds.
Yeah.
It's 18 holes per round.
Yeah. So it's the same.
It's the same. In saying that, women's tennis gets a lot of eyes drawn to it.
Yeah.
So it's a huge bonus to them.
Yeah, true.
No, I mustn't have got this lady's name. But she was, 4 point something million, which was pretty sad.
Ochoa.
Actually, I got a list here, so like all-time like LPGA Tour wins.
Yeah.
Kari Webb's 10th.
Yeah, I can understand that.
She actually popped up on lists everywhere. She's
won my 5 majors.
Man.
4 majors.
It's got it on here too. Here we go.
2.
She's
won a couple.
Kari Webb won 7 majors.
7?
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's pretty good, right?
Go Kari.
She was a very... Oh, here we go. No, I wrote it down. Lorena Ochoa.
I just said Ochoa.
Did you?
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ochoa, 4.3 million.
Yeah, she was awesome.
In 2007.
Yeah. Yeah, so, true. That's a long time ago.
Yeah. I think Annika Sorenstam was pretty much every other person on that list.
Yep. Gee, she won some.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that's concerning, mate. It actually makes me not angry, but it makes you like a little bit depressed for the ladies.
It does.
It's just like a kick in the face.
I was trying to, I was talking to Emma before we come here, or before I came here, not we, before I came here, and was talking a little bit about the Masters.
Mm.
And I was telling her, I said, the Masters didn't allow female members until 2012.
Yeah.
And she's looking at me with just this blank stare. She goes, okay, so... and then I was talking about Nelly Korda. And she goes... I told her about the 5 wins. She goes, oh, did she win the Masters as well? there's no Masters for the ladies. She goes, what doesn't make sense? Like,
yeah, different majors.
Yeah, and then I told her that 2012 thing. And she goes, why aren't they sued? How is that legal?
It's a bit different. I guess every other sport, well, tennis has the same ages, same events.
Yep.
I don't know.
It depends how you break it down. Like
soccer, they're all different leagues, different tournaments.
There are, but like women's sport in general has the same issue. But does it needs to come down to they need to somehow like either advertise it or make it more viewable for your average guy to turn on the TV and watch LPGA.
I think it was two events ago, I think.
Yeah.
You couldn't even tune in until like the back 9 on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
So like, they've got to get it more available.
Yeah, that's right.
To people.
That's right. Like, because there's that argument too. Like, you need to get paid what you're worth. And if the women are dragging more eyes and more money into the game, then I think that prize money will go up.
Yeah.
So, it's just, the PGA Tour needs to find a way to help.
Yeah, well, that's...
Help. That's their job, right?
To get eyes on it, it's got to be visible.
Yeah.
So...
Well, especially they're trying to advertise as, PGA is this world tour, whatever it is they're trying to sell. Yeah. It's like, well... At the moment, you're a men's American tour.
Yes. World tour.
Yeah.
What about Jon Rahm, right? Did you see what he said today?
No.
Yesterday? He came out and said all the tours have done a bad job in the past of making people go to Australia to play in the PGA, the Open and the Masters. Mm-hmm. Like saying it's the tour's fault. Like the PGA, European, it's all the tour's fault.
Yep.
Like, he could have quite easily come here by himself. if he wanted to.
He could.
He was rattling off like Nicholas and Gary Player and Norman and Tiger came here, and now he's here with Liv. He's trying to pump up the fact that Liv are actually here. And I was like, mate, he can get fucked because you could have flew your own plane over here,
yeah,
and played all of them, but you didn't because the money was shit.
Yeah, correct.
So don't start spruiking now.
Yeah,
that you could have, that everyone should have made you come when you could have come by yourself.
That's like, right, because it goes back.
I'm getting sick of how these guys. They just,
the PGA Tour sort of killed it with this wraparound season.
Yeah, it has. But none of these guys played the wraparound season.
No, and so like you said it right. Like John could have either like stayed home or played a PGA Tour tournament for more money.
Yes.
And that's what it comes down to. It comes down to dollars.
Yeah, so don't try and spruik it now that you're here and they should have done better.
Now that you've been
paid. You've been paid $800 million to be here, mate.
Yeah, you've been prepaid. Like,
seriously.
Prepaid.
Yeah, that annoyed me, hey. Well, he's just trying to big note himself.
Do you know how many Australian Opens Nicholas won?
Six.
Ooh. Yeah, you're right.
Is it?
What about Player?
Five.
Nah, seven. He got one more.
I knew it was one, didn't know which way.
He won one more.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, those guys love coming here.
Well, and they were doing it. Like, they come over on a bloody steamboat. Took them 14 months. Yeah. Like, far out.
They'd play one event for the year. Yeah. The Australian Open.
Yeah, it just annoyed me when I read it. Like, nothing was stopping him from coming. Except for the fact that it was money.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, anyway, sorry.
100%. How soon is it until Scotty Scheffler beats Tiger Woods' career money?
What's his career money?
Tiger's, 120. Prize money.
Is that what he's made?
That's what he's made in prize money.
What's he up to?
60-something.
Oh.
He's 27.
Yeah, by the time he's probably 32.
Yeah. Mental hope.
Yep.
So, did you see the adjusted year earnings for Tiger in 2000?
No.
So, a guy did a calculation based on, like, because he won 9 tournaments that year.
Yeah.
3 majors. So, the adjusted money he would have earned for that year on tour, assuming, and rightfully assuming, that he would have won the FedEx Cup, which you won 9 times, you're going to win the FedEx Cup. And he would have, like, won the pip as well.
Yeah.
$92 million for the year 2000.
Wow.
If the prize money was what it is today.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that just extreme?
That's on par with like soccer.
That's crazy amounts
so
of money.
So much money.
For playing golf. So.
Wow. Wish I was good at golf.
And so in his career earnings 120. Like he would have earned 3/4 of that in 1 year.
So, far out.
Like they, you know, we keep hearing and seeing all these stats trying to, I guess, you know, say, oh, Scotty Scheffler and the Tiger era are like the same. It's numbers like that to just going to show you, no, it wasn't.
No.
Like it's just, at the moment, it's not even close. Like it needs to be over a long period of time.
Yeah.
It needs to be over 15 years.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, in modern day, if he stays healthy in that, he probably could, but. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see anyone earning $92 million in a season.
No, well, if you won all the events, just say you played 25 events and won them all.
Yep.
Just say that the elevated are worth $3 million each.
Yep.
How many of them are there? 10. So there's $30 million.
Yep.
The other ones, you're probably going to get $1.5 million.
Yep.
So what's that? 15, one and a half, so that's what? 22 and 30, about $55 million, and yep. Then you're FedEx and that, so you're probably not going to get it.
No, it's a lot of winning.
Yeah.
I saw what else was I reading here? Oh, most consecutive wins on tour, because that seems to be the vibe at the moment. Nelly Korda's just won 5.
Yep.
And what is Scotty Scheffler's back to back?
Is it just consecutive that you played in, or consecutive back to back to back to back?
Back to back to back. Oh, sorry, consecutive.
It's just the ones that
two events that you played in.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's what sort of counts. So
yeah.
Let's start with the. I want to start with the women actually. So, a lady named Mickey Wright.
Yeah.
Won 13 events in a row.
Yeah, but was that before they weren't even
1963.
Yeah, I don't even think they were PGA events. I think they were just events.
And she did it again in 1964, won 11. Annika Sorenstam won 11.
In a row?
In a row.
Jesus. Wow.
No, sorry, that's most tournament wins in a season.
Oh.
Wrong start.
Still.
11 wins in a season's not bad.
You're winning a couple in a row there.
Yes, you are. Now, it was a lot easier to find numbers on the men.
Yeah.
Right? Rightfully so. Number one. Who do you think number one is?
In a row?
Yeah. How many wins in a row was it? Don't look at my book.
No, I'm not looking. is it Tiger?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to say if it's not Tiger. It might be like a, let's go with, Bobby was an amateur. I'm going to go with like Arnie.
No.
Oh.
It's 11 wins in a row.
Weisskopf.
No. Byron Nelson.
Oh, Byron.
That happened in 1945.
Does it have one of these things?
It should. Yeah. Guys like Benny Hogan only played twice in that 11. Played twice, and there was a couple of other big names of that year that didn't play at all.
Yeah. Telling me the fields weren't as strong back then.
Well, there was a war. So all the
fields were strong.
The fields were strong.
The golf
fields were weak. No, so he was number one. Tiger Woods was number two, 7 wins in a row.
Did that
through 06, 07.
06, 07.
Yep. And then Ben Hogan and Tiger Woods. So Ben Hogan, 1948. Tiger Woods, 99 to 2000 with 6 wins. Tiger Woods again, 07 to 08 with 5 wins. And then with 4 wins, there was Byron Nelson, Jack Burke Jr., and then Ben Hogan.
Berkey.
Yeah. Yeah, so Jack Burke did that 1952, Hogan in 1953, Byron Nelson 45 to 46, which still to win them's great.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of people away at war.
Yeah.
So
far out.
Yeah, I thought that was really good.
Yeah, the goal for the minute from those two is next level.
Actually, the most consecutive LPGA Tour wins is a tie at the moment for 5. Nancy Lopez,
oh, yeah.
1978. Annika Sorensen.
Yep.
And then Nelly Korda as well.
Is Nelly playing next week?
Don't know.
Man, she's going to win.
Could be another win. She's looking pretty solid at the moment, doing it pretty easy. So
the swing's so good.
Oh, it's so impressive. And those, like, the girls are so impressive to watch. Like, it's not, you know, it's a different game to what the men play, but it's not less enjoyable.
No, well, it's only different because the men just hit it relative to how strong they are. They hit it as far as how strong they are.
Yes.
So the women are doing the same thing. It's just the distances are different.
Yeah. But, and then you also get to, like, if you find yourself in the, like, in the thick stuff, men can power it out and the women need to be a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, get themselves around it.
So. Yeah, I guess so.
But still, it's a great game. And the PGA Tour needs to do something about getting more eyes on that game.
Absolutely,
so
they do.
It's really good.
Absolutely.
Corfu, we missed this last week. Well, we didn't miss it. We said we wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
It was Masters Week. We're all a bit excited.
We are.
But we've
got a lot of riding down.
I've got a lot of riding. I've got very keen.
I've got bugger all.
The PGA versus LIV.
I think I used all my little sayings up the first 20 we did, and it was just getting vulgar and rude.
Yeah, it was getting pretty brutal.
So I had to, like...
Well, that's because we're fighting each other.
Yeah.
So it was pretty brutal. But this time, we've done a mixed tennis doubles.
All right.
So it's just two people. Now, I did LIV. Unfortunately, there is no LIV women's event.
Yeah.
So I had to take from the PGA Tour.
Right.
In saying that, is that next for LIV?
Excuse me?
Next for LIV. A ladies tour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Imagine the golfers will be going. They'll get every lady.
Yeah.
If they put half the amount of money they give.
Imagine going, I'll give you $5 million to come play for 5 years. They're just like, yep.
Done. Sold.
Done. Yep.
How good's that? Why don't you start? I'm going to rip my jumper off.
You want me to lead us away?
Yeah, you lead the way.
All right. So, my male tennis double partner is JT Poston. JT, the real JT. He has a backhand to rival any father from the 80s. All right. His one-handed backhand return of serve is something to rival the ever-boring Boris Becker. The real JT has grace and poise on the court and glides across the clay court like a new age McEnroe.
Wow.
So that's JT Boston. All right, my female is Lydia Ko, or as we know her, Lydia Ko, or as she's known in the second tier New Zealand doubles tour as Little Miss Knockout. Ko has a second serve that will make Kournikova tremble. A fierce competitor on the court with a speed to match a three-legged chihuahua. Ko loves to serve volley and says her tennis idol is Beck Hewitt. That's my doubles pairing.
I'd love to know what goes through your head sometimes. Backhand to rival a 1980s far.
You bloody idiot. Whack. Okay. I'm only saying that because I was a kid in the well, I wasn't very old in the 80s actually. I was actually just born. Yeah, I was just mid-80s.
Just born.
Trauma. Severe trauma to the left-hand side of my head.
So, So I was looking for in my tennis players.
Yeah.
Right, because I love playing a bit of tennis, actually. So, I was looking for someone, you know, I wanted tall, but you don't want too tall. So, the advantage that someone shorter has is probably a little bit more steady on the feet, can quickly move side to side. You lose that as you get taller, center of gravity and all that stuff, right?
Okay, so I've never had that problem.
Yes. So, I wanted someone who was, you know, about 6 foot, pretty lanky, pretty lightweight, ripping. So, I'm going to assume I get this right. I always get confused. Joaquin Neiman.
Joaquin.
Yeah.
183
centimeters tall, 69 kilos. Just...
Jeez, a feather.
Raw power.
It's a string bean.
So, a lot of this stuff I'd like to mention too is some of the facts in here are true.
Some.
As in, like, where he was born.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right.
So, born in Santiago, Chile. Joaquin...
Whale's vagina.
Whale's vagina.
Sorry.
Joaquin developed Sherpa's lung from living in the high altitude and frequenting the mountains. I think Santiago's only like 500 feet above sea level. Yeah, but good enough. He can train for hours on end, never getting tired, especially in the oxygen-rich areas tennis courts are often located. Playing a heavy forehand and one-handed backhand, Joaquin only took up golf after complaining the ball in tennis was too large. His ball modification request was denied by the ATP and he would soon move on to ping pong. Complaining the face on the ping pong racket was too large, his racket modification request was denied by the ITTF, the International Table Tennis Federation, so he quit the game and pursued golf. Complaining the golf ball would travel too far, he put a modification request into the RNA to roll back the golf ball, which was granted.
Really?
Mm.
He's responsible.
He's the man.
Is he any good at tennis?
Oh, he's good.
Okay. All right.
Well, he was so good, the ball was too big for him.
Ah.
Yeah.
Right.
And my female, Michelle Wee West. We'll just call her Michelle Wee from now on. Or Michelle.
Michelle.
Also 183 centimetres.
That's good height.
Yeah. Michelle started playing golf at the age of 4. Before this...
This is tennis.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Before this, she was an avid tennis player and hitting partner to Monica Seles, the 1991 world number one.
Is she the chick that got stabbed?
I think so.
Yeah.
Seles said Michelle was the reason she won 3 Grand Slams that year. So 1991, she won 3 Grand Slams. Seles is quoted as saying, "If Michelle wasn't so good at tennis, the WTA tour might have let her play." An aggressive serve volleyer. Aggressive serve volley player. She has to play with tungsten strings because her serve puts a hole in the current nylon strings.
Wow.
Able to switch hit, she chooses to play 2 forehands and no backhand.
Impressive.
She quit tennis at the age of 4 after hearing about a proposed modification to shrink the golf ball made by a Chilean gentleman. she agreed with the proposal and quit after it was denied.
Mm.
Yeah, so there's a bit of chemistry there too.
There is, isn't there?
It was brutal.
I like it.
Look, I think...
Very good.
I had a good story. Yeah. I think you won. You actually had some tennis stuff in there. Yeah.
That's good. You went to great lengths today, mate.
I did. So, true fact, Santiago, Chile, that's where he was born. It is slightly elevated, but not too much to develop Sherpa's lung.
It is true.
Which is, I don't know if it's called Sherpa's lung, but that's what I'm calling it.
Hey.
It's what Sherpas,
I like it.
Sherpas have.
It's good.
Yeah, and Michelle, we also started playing golf at 4, so.
Correct.
Yeah. Some little tidbit facts.
My whole thing was true.
Why? You should have picked Adam Scott.
Why?
Because Adam Scott was Leighton Hewitt's tennis, like, hitting partner.
Yeah, well, Beck Hewitt's Lydia's idol. So.
Yeah, but Adam Scott's actually a.
That, like, could have been from Home and Away.
It could have been. No, Adam Scott's actually a, like, a fantastic tennis player.
Yeah, well, he was married to that chick, Anna.
Kournikova?
Nah. For years, he was with one of the best the players tennis in the world. Yeah.
Probably makes sense then.
Yeah, for but years.
Yeah, he was, yeah, when Leighton Hewitt's...
Anna Ivanovic or something.
Oh, was that? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she was good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was an amazing tennis player.
Yeah, right.
Adam Scott. So, I actually wanted to put him in mind, but he hasn't gone to live yet.
Not yet. No, not he yet. Won't. He won't, mate. I've
heard more rumours about Rory going to live, even after he made his thing saying
apparently
he's not.
Just jumped back on the PGA board as a... whatever they do as a committee member now.
Yeah, some guy just left at the request that he takes his spot, so.
Yeah, right.
I forget the guy's names. I should know this.
I don't know. I thought he was going to, but I think he's... I don't know.
I don't know.
Can't tell you.
Very
mate, what did you hear about the 15-year-old Mr. Russell? Making the cut at the
Corn Ferry?
Mate.
How impressive is he?
What a player. He shot 40 and under, come tied 20th.
How good's that?
I want to know, what were you doing when you were 15?
When I was 15?
Yes.
Yep. I was playing golf.
Oh, yeah?
That was something. I'm trying to think, what's a major thing I did? I think the biggest... 15 is when I sort of started winning junior events.
Started winning them, did you? Look yeah. out. Cha-ching. So,
yeah. It was probably like, there was a Grafton... what was it called? The Tim Schafer Cup? One of them.
Very nice.
16, 17, I won the Whoopi Open twice.
Stop it.
won the Port Macquarie Seaside when I was 16. All right,
you won some things.
Yeah, no, I was, you know, it's no Corn Ferry. But
I can't win a fucking chook.
And then in the chook run. And then he just got a sponsors involved, sponsors exemption into a PGA Tour event.
Yeah, the Butterfield.
Yeah. So
he swings it so good.
Man, there are so many good kids out there at the moment. Right. So, puts it in perspective, like, I know, like, I think everyone thinks, like, Charlie Woods is obviously very, very good, but there are so many golfers out there better.
Yeah.
Right, so, he's just got a lot of eyes on him, which is added pressure, you can obviously handle it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, yeah, there's so many kids similar to that age who are just so good.
15, my God.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing at 15?
15... It's probably drinking Old Crow straight out of the bottle and chasing girls around beach parties.
Good for you, man.
To no avail. Good. I don't know.
So you weren't as successful as Russell?
No. Not at all.
How many girls do you think, like, playing in a Corn Ferry Tour event, do you think that pulls any chicks? Has it got any cred?
Oh... Maybe. Maybe he's high school, yeah.
Maybe. He's probably at some sort of, like, sporting high school, I guess.
I don't know. You'd hope so.
Mm.
For his sake.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or maybe boys. I don't know what he's into.
Whatever he likes, really.
Whatever you like.
I think he'd have more eyes on him now, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Young Mr. Russell.
Yeah. He's gonna be a superstar, I think.
Yep. That's gold.
Coffee.
Mate.
Speaking of... young boys. Corfe in history. Corfe in
back.
History.
This is good.
We're back.
All right.
Now, pretty in depth with this one here. So you just got to stick with me a little bit.
Okay.
So I'd like to make it noted too for anyone that doesn't know these. Like the history part, this is all true, like, events in golf history. So, now, a little bit educational, and then I'm trying to put Corf in those situations to see what he reckons he would do. Me knowing full well he didn't do any of them. But just little interesting little bit here. So, the year's 1995.
Yep.
And you're playing at the US Open in Shinnecock Hills.
Oh, okay.
Mm. You remember who won though?
No idea. Hang on. Hal Sutton.
Corey Pavin.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he hole it to get in the playoff? No, that's a different thing.
Different thing.
Disregard.
So, anyway. History says in the final round on the 18th hole, Corey Pavin hits a forward. So, you know, back then, there's little tiny little things.
Yeah.
From 228 yards out on the 450-yard par 4. He knocks it to 5 feet. He may miss the putt, but makes a par and holds off Greg Norman, who is gasping for air as his airways are rapidly closing.
Mm.
He ends up winning by 2.
Does he?
Yeah. Corfy, through some absolute miracle, would you be able to get your forward airborne?
Yes.
Yes. That's good. That's number first part. You ready?
Should have seen 3 wood I hit today. Anyway. Disregard that.
Would you be able to make the putt from 5 foot?
Yeah, that's debatable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get a yes with the claw.
I think you're a good chance. Yep. I think statistically speaking, 5 foot, you're a good chance.
Yeah.
It's just the moment that adds to it, right? So, and the last one, from the same spot, so you're 228 yards out for your tee shot. And if it was just you right now, could you even make bogey and secure a one-shot win? Could you, from where you were, 230 yards out,
is it over water or something?
I got no idea. But could you make 5?
Yes.
So you got 4 shots to get from where you are to the hole.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Excellent. I reckon you could too. Even if there was where you just lay up, chipping on.
No, just hit it long. Yes, I'm making 5.
Good job. You just won the 1995 US Open.
Yeah, boy.
From 228 yards.
You see those clubs that Corey Pavin used once? So, these Clevelands?
Yeah.
Man, they got like the hosel is so far behind the head.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And he won with them.
Man, you look at some of the equipment, it's come a long way.
Oh, man.
Massive way. All right. The year.
Yes.
1988.
Getting backhanded.
How old were you in 1988?
3. Yeah.
Excellent.
I wouldn't have got any backhands.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Working your way to it.
Yep.
You're at Augusta National.
Ooh. You always take me back to Augusta.
Yeah.
I like it.
Augusta's nice. Do you remember who won that year?
83.
88.
88. Let's go with Watson.
No. Sandy Lyle.
Sandy.
Sandy always sneaks in there. So, a bit off topic here, but, you know, was it Seve Ballesteros once said, he has, like in that era, he said, if we're all playing our best golf, Sandy Lyle would have his way with us.
Yeah, right.
That's just when he was on, apparently that's how good he was. So, it's a fair claim.
It's a massive, massive claim.
So, the year's 1988, you're at Augusta National.
Yep.
History tells us, now I'm going to butcher this guy's name, I'm sure. Mark Calcaveschi. Calcavescia.
Oh, you idiot. Calcavecchia.
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 Calcavecchia. I can't even say it. Mark Calcavecchia.
Yeah. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
He's in the clubhouse with 6 under par for the tournament. Sandy Lyle is also 6 under par playing the 18th. He hits a 1-iron off the tee.
What?
A 1-iron off the tee.
Jeez.
And finds himself in the first bunker on the left-hand side of the fairway, inches from the lip, which is arguably one of the worst positions you could put yourself. Right? Sandy famously hits a towering 7-iron over the flag, using the green slopes perfectly, and ends up 8 feet for birdie. He holds the putt and wins by 1 shot, then showcases his now famous jig at the end of the
little jig.
Little dance at the end. Corfee. Would you ever hit a one iron off the tee tying for the Masters?
Negative.
Would you hit anything with a hosel?
No. No. If it was a par three, I'd be hitting driver.
Yeah.
There's no way.
What are your chances of getting out of that bunker?
Oh, look. Buckley's an F4.
Yeah.
It's like no one can see me. It's like that.
Yeah. Well, I think the first bunker's a bit shallow. Is it shallow? Yeah. And the next one's deeper.
Yeah, I'm not hitting a 7-iron on the green.
Yeah, it was. I watched the footage today.
Yeah.
Such a good shot.
No way.
Final question.
Kalkavecchia.
Kalkavecchia.
I think that's it.
Final question.
Yeah.
What dance move would you do after you hold the final putt, and how quickly would your clothes come off?
You always ask me if my clothes would come off like it's a regular occurrence.
I get a feeling you've done more for less.
Man, it's a private matter. It's a profit matter. We used to go to parties and get paid to do stuff like that.
Oh, I see.
Final jig. I don't know. I'd probably start riding my putter like Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I could see you doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something stupid, not intending to do it. It would have just happened.
Yeah. It'd be one of those in the moment.
And clothes would probably stay on.
You reckon? Well, you probably want to come back next year, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
I could smell a suspension if you did that.
Yeah.
All right. We're back at Augusta National.
So that was a fail.
Yeah. We're back at Augusta National. The year is 2010.
All right.
Remember who won that?
Oh, 2010. Michael Campbell?
No.
Immelman?
No. I'll give you a hint. Immelman was close because it's... I think Immelman was 2011.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. It was his third green jacket.
Mickelson.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah.
History tells us Phil Mickelson will go on to win his third green jacket. A defining moment of the tournament was on the 13th hole.
In the pine straw.
Driving into the pine straw and behind a tree on the par 5. He proceeds to hit a flush iron around the tree and to about 8 foot, setting up an easy 2-putt birdie.
Mm.
Corfee.
Yes.
Could you have held that putt for eagle?
Possibly.
I reckon you could. He was below the hole.
Yeah. I reckon I could.
He's uphill putt. I reckon you could have.
I'm glad you didn't ask me if I could hit that shot. Oh, but wait. There's more.
Right. Next one. Right. So, you're hitting your second shot in. Would your shot from the pine straw hit the tree square in the middle and kill your caddy Bones in the process?
Yeah, that's more likely. Because you know me out of the trees.
Not your favourite spot.
It's not my favourite spot. That's a possibility.
You reckon?
Yep.
You could get poor Bones in the head.
Yep.
Man, it was like, you just watch that on replay. Yeah, it was so such good. A good shot.
Bones tells a story about it and he says he was trying to get him just to lay up.
Understandably.
And then Mickelson's like, Bones, at some stage in this final round, I've got to hit a fucking shot.
Yeah.
And this is going to be it. Just give me the 6-iron.
Yeah.
And just went whoosh.
It's one of the best shots ever played at the Masters. Like, when you look up Masters highlights, that shot is always on there.
Yeah, so good.
That one in, 2012 Bubba's playoff?
Oh, against Oosthuizen.
Yeah.
I don't know how he hooked that wedge that far. Like, I can hook
it. Was a gap wedge.
Yeah, I can hook it with the best of them.
He hooked it like 40 yards.
Man.
It was crazy.
Impressive.
Very impressive.
Impressive stuff.
So, it's always on there. Anyway, I think you've done pretty well.
Sweet.
Mm. Yeah, you've killed Bones. You've won the US Open. And you famously make a quadruple bogey up the last in 1988.
I like it. Mm. Thank you. Thank you for taking me back.
No, well done, mate.
I like that.
Done very well.
I've got a question, actually.
Yeah, I love it.
On Instagram, right?
Yep.
All these American guys who give out golf tips, are they all like PGA professionals? Are they just randoms? Do you reckon they're all actual professionals? Like they've done their time?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You'd have to look at, like, a lot of them obviously are.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Because in Oz, I'm not sure what it's like over there, but to coach in Australia, you've got to be qualified.
Yeah, so...
Is it the same over there?
I haven't got a clue.
Yeah, because I know to pass the plane over there.
Yeah.
all you have to do is go play 36 holes in the one day at this event.
Yeah.
And shoot 15 over the course rating. And you pass your playing academic, playing standard.
What?
Yeah. The guy over in America was telling me.
What?
And now I don't know about the academics.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I was curious. Because I've seen some vlogs on Instagram. Like, just...
For our international listeners over here. So, to be able to, like, qualify to coach and be, like, a PGA member in Australia. So, probably different ways to be a member. But to have your coaching qualifications it's a minimum 3-year program.
Yeah,
depending how you are. Which includes, there's an educational side of it. So, did you end up counting how many assignments you did?
Yeah, first 2 years I did one every 2 weeks for like 11 months.
Yeah.
And the last year there was 10 massive ones, like a diploma.
Yeah. Your assignments changed a lot from when I did mine. So,
yep.
Like, your ones required a lot more videos.
Oh, yeah.
The platform that we use couldn't support those type of videos.
I didn't mean to say... all the Yankees I've seen are flogged. Because they're not. Some of them are legends. But I've just seen a lot of them. And I was just curious.
Yeah.
Because some of them are giving out dog shit information.
Yeah,
they do. That's why I was curious.
So for us, it's minimum 3 years. There's assignments. I'm pretty sure I counted mine as like 180 assignments over 3 years.
Yeah, there's so many.
Some of them are really easy. Like 10 questions, and then some of them pretty in-depth.
I didn't get any that were 10 questions.
Well, we had some of just quizzes, right? So, we had a few, and then you have some big ones where it's like coach someone for, 3 weeks. Man. And do all, like,
I was doing 5-month coaching templates and programs and stuff.
So, that part changed, and then there's a playing requirement. So, when I did mine, it changed halfway through, but when I started mine, it was you had to play 20 rounds, and they were all these trainee matches that were... organized.
Yeah.
So 20 rounds, it's 20 18 holes. So if you played a 36 hole event, it counted as 2 rounds. So you had to play 20 of them a year, and your scoring average had to be less than 4.75.
Yeah.
Right. And so you had to do that each 3 years.
Yeah.
In my second year, halfway through that, they changed the requirement to either doing that, or if you played 30 rounds in the year and did the average, that would pass your playing. But you still had to play the 20 the following year. So I got through that second year. I had the 30 and the scoring average. So that passed me for my last year. But I just still had to play 20 rounds.
Yeah.
Which living in, anyone that knows Australia, living in Coffs Harbour and having to drive to Brisbane every Sunday night to play Monday and come home
nowhere.
Was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
It was a minimum 4-hour drive to any tournament. So that's our pathway here. And then... if you fail any of that, you go back and do it again the next year.
Yeah.
And you got 8 years to finish it. If you don't, you start again.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just curious if you knew.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the American system. But I'm sure somebody's going to email in at theslappycut@gmail.com.
Probably abusing me.
And probably an American. and let us know what their pathways is. I'd be interested to know.
Yeah.
Because you obviously get, in Australia, you get a lot of... there's benefits there of being a PGA member, which is obviously your coaching. There's some insurance stuff in that as well. So, which, if you're coaching, you need.
Yeah.
So, Very good. Yeah, that's a good question, Corfy.
Yeah.
My question for you is...
yeah.
What is your tip of the week?
Well, great question. I've got two.
I love it.
Because...
this doesn't exempt you from next week, but...
no, that's fine. My first one is don't use a cookie cutter coach. Doesn't work.
Is this what inspired the criticism of our US friends?
No, just anyone in general who just coaches the one thing. Because it doesn't work. You got to coach each individual on their merits.
Stack and tilt.
It does my head in, mate. And the other one is the simplest thing you can do for your alignment is use an intermediate target. And if people don't know what that is, go online and find out. The best player ever, Tiger Woods, uses an intermediate target.
Yeah.
So something 6 inches, 8 inches in front of your ball, pick that where your intended start line is.
Yeah.
And set yourself off that.
It does it for everything.
Yeah. It's so easy, but yet every second person does not know how to do it.
No, and it's one of those things too, like it's just like getting good at that process takes practice as well. It's like anything.
Yeah.
Like being able to do that routinely, and then make it automatic. You just need to be doing it every time you hit a shot. If you're on the range with 100 balls, you should do it 100 every times. Every shot.
Yep. Stand behind your ball, pick out a target. And the thing is, it's easy to line up with something that's just in front of your ball. It's hard to line up with something 150, 200 meters away.
Well, you can't get, like, you can't see your flag 150 meters away and your club face in the same frame.
Yeah.
But if you can get something that's 6 inches away on that line, you can see that and you can see your club face in the same frame.
Correct. And then you set your feet to run however you wish off them.
Oh, it makes it so much easier. So
if you hit a little fade, a little draw, obviously your start line's going to be a bit different. But
correct.
Just use an intermediate target for alignment, please.
Yeah. No, I like that one. It's really good.
If you watch any videos of Tiger, before he hit, like when he walks in and sets up, club goes behind the ball, he looks just in front of his ball, double checks it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good coffee.
Yeah, thank you, mate. What's the mental side happening?
The mental tip of the week. All right. This might sound a little bit funny, but I think it's important. Time off is just as beneficial as time on.
Copy.
So, working hard for 6 months, whatever, you're not going to lose your gains by having a week.
No way. It's going to probably help your body.
Right? I think, like, it'll help your body. It also, too, it makes everything fresh. Like, you start to get excited to pick the clubs up again.
Yeah.
You can go stale very quickly, sticking there and just trying to...
If it becomes a chore, you're not doing it right.
Correct. Correct. And you see, like, every great golfer at some point, they go, oh, I'm going to take, you know, a few days here, a few days there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Christmas time, you know, I'm going to take, you know, a few weeks with the family and whatever else. And, you know, if you're younger and you don't have family, just find something you like to do. Go on holiday.
Have an outlet.
Have an outlet.
I actually told one of the boys I coached the other day, or a couple of months ago, he's getting so into golf and he's getting better and better and he's there every day, which is awesome. And we're going over some goals and stuff and setting a few goals. And I said, whatever you do, mate, you still need to have your life outside of golf.
Yeah, correct.
So you got family, friends, have some fun, have another hobby.
Yeah.
I was like, if you come here every day and burn out, you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
Then it becomes a chore and then you're done.
Yeah.
I was like, make sure you get that balance right.
Yeah.
Like, I want you here every day, maybe 5 days a week.
Yeah.
But get that right.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be beneficial and it's going to have longevity.
Yeah, that's right. So, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
So that's my little mental tip of the week.
Awesome.
I love that.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
I think we're done.
We need to have like a proper like outro, I think.
Do you want me to play another one on the guitar?
Yeah, but we'll do it live.
Okay.
Won't do it now.
Not right now.
Next time.
Okay.
But Corfe, this has been most enjoyable.
Thank you, mate.
We'll do it again next week.
Cheerio.